Access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Reel 7.
I think we only stayed up there for about a month at a time. And then they would send you back to the right back for a little while.
So you go, say you're not on guard, we'll come to guard later. So you'd go back and get your breakfast, I presume. Now, where would you go for your food?
It was brought to you. Oh, no,
why
no.
Why would you go back?
No. What I'm saying, go back. What I meant to say was we would be able to go to the back of the line. But if you was on guard, then they used to bring your food along to you. We're only talking about going back 500 metres. You know, you just go beyond. The front line would be there, and you would go back there, sort of thing.
Now, what was the food? I know you're not much bothered about food, but do you remember what food restaurants you got out there?
We got a lot of American stuff.
Now, what was it like? Was it, you know...
Dry. Very dry. And it was always in tins. See, and another thing they give you 50 fags every time they give you a dinner or give you anything to eat, there would be a tin of fags in there, 50 fags. So you didn't have to buy a fag while you was out there.
What was in the tins? What type of food? Is it what you're used to? Because Americans used to eat slightly different things.
Yes, they did. Oh, yeah, there was more ice cream people. No, we used to have more like cauliflower cheese. What should I say? Rice puddings.
In these tins?
In these tins, yeah. Things like soups, anything like that they used to give to you. But it's plenty of beans. There used to be plenty of beans going through the system. You could have beans and ham, or you could have this and something else. But it'd always be, there'd be beans and... another thing they used to do was make up kind of a soup that would have carrots, carrots, everything in it. You know, like you do a soup home here. Well, it would be all in there. So you'd have that kind of a thing. But you'd have to open it up from a tin. And most of it was cold anyway, so you used to have it cold.
So that's sort of your food. Now, after you had your breakfast, what would be next if you're in the line? What sort of daytime? I mean, what about centre duty? Tell me about centre duty.
Well, if you was in the line, what you would do, you would go out and you'd be on centre duty for at least two hours.
And what was it like? What did you have to do if you're on centre duty?
Well, what you'd do, you'd look out and you would... You'd have a piece of paper in front of you like you've got. And what you'd do, you'd put down bushes. Because what they used to do, they used to lift up the bush and they used to walk forward. And if you was clever enough, you could actually see them doing it. So then, once they'd done it, you'd report that you'd seen that bush move. And then what they would do, they would hammer it. So whoever was there wasn't there no more. But
you wouldn't fire at it. You'd get them to...
Oh, no. That comes later on.
So what else about sentry duty? So you just stand there, would you?
You just stand there, and you wasn't allowed to smoke. You wasn't allowed to fall asleep, things like that. But unfortunately, the blokes did. They did. There was one night I can remember... I suppose it's not the best thing in the world to say, really. But when you looked in the trench, there was a tree. And when I looked up, there was a tree there. And as it's getting darker, the tree started taking funny shapes. And unfortunately, I would have seen... some bushes that had moved. So, of course, I reported them and they done their bits on them. So that was all right. But when I turned around, Well, don't ask me why. I haven't got a clue. It looked as though there was a bloke standing up there with a gun. So
this tree did.
The tree. And you know what I did? I let off. I let everything go. And my mate standing by the side of me, he let everything go. And of course, unfortunately, all the blokes in the bunkers all had to get up and come out running out. And when they'd finished, they'd found out that this tree had disintegrated for some unknown reason. Don't ask me why, but I'll tell you what, I killed it a few times. But that's the only, that's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes you used to get scared. And once you got scared, it's a thing that would haunt you, if you like. Because once I see them bushes moving, and I knew they were moving, I reported it, and it was okay. But then, when I turned around and see this tree, and I'll tell you what, whether anybody likes it or not, there was a bloke standing there with a gun, and he was ready to fire at me, and I just let go. I let go with everything that I had, and of course, all the blokes ran out. And for that, I had to go to the MO. And I just sat there, and he asked me what had happened. I told him exactly what I just told you. And he said, okay, I'm just sending you back from the line back to base, and you'll have a couple of days off. And that's what they did for me. They sent me back, and I just went back and more or less, if you like, just calmed down a bit. Because there, no doubt about it, it was an old tension thing up there. Because you'd another thing that you would have, you would have deer coming along, and the deer used to come up the hill, or whatever it was, and it used to unnerve you, if you like, put it that way. It used to unnerve you, and of course, things like that. I was one of them that just lost me nut and just fired at anything that I thought was going to move. So, you know, whether that's a good way of looking at it or not, I don't know. But
so if you weren't on sentry duty, what would you be doing during the day?
Mainly relaxing or on the line. You know, you'd just be looking out forward. And as I said to you, you'd be doing all the things that is natural, making sure that you don't see anything you see, you had to report.
I mean, if you're not on sentry.
Oh, if you're not on sentry, then you, as I say, you go to the back, and then what you would do then is to just relax, more or less relax all the time.
And how would you do that?
Number one, sit there playing cards, or having a fag, going to sleep, whatever you wanted to do, you did.
Did you contact home much? Did you write home, or did they write to you much?
Oh, yeah. My father wrote to me. I had a letter from him, I would say, at least twice a week.
And what would he say? Is it just about, I mean, you know, what kind of stuff would he write about, roughly?
Well, he'd just tell me how the family's doing, what he's been up to, what he's done. And my girlfriend, she used to write to me. Her name was Honeybun, June Honeybun. And they knew me by Honeybun, so that when you got your mail call, they'd stand up and they would shout out, like, Smith, Abbott, Brown, Honeybun, Honeybun. And of course, I was known at the end by Honeybun. So, of course, that's how they knew me at the end. But they're the type of thing. I mean, you made your own.
Would you write to her?
Oh, yes.
Or your dad?
Yeah.
And what would you write to her? Because you were censored, I presume.
Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know, because I never got a letter sent back. So I wouldn't know. I mean, I used to put down what I'd done that night. I mean, I even wrote home and told them what had happened to me that night, you know, when I thought somebody was going to have a go at me and landed up. Whether they could read that or not, I don't know. But you don't know whether you were censored or not. Because all you done, you put all your posts, you put your letters in, and as far as you was concerned, they were sent off to you.
Well, letters were important to you both ways, you know.
Oh, yes.
That
meant
a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you just keep me in contact with all your family, if you like.
Did you get any parcels from home, either from the family or from outside?
I got mainly, the only parcels I really got was when Christmas time come. I got a sort of a Christmas parcel, which had food, things like that in it.
And who sent that?
Number of my father and my girlfriend.
So they clubbed together?
Yeah, they clubbed together and sent me one big parcel. But then I had that one. But then Christmas time, we had a parcel come from Red Cross or somewhere like that. Because they had everything in there. They had a pair of socks, gloves, everything you needed, like things for writing home with, if you like, letters and all the envelopes, all that kind of thing. And they did really used to look after. I mean, I thought we was pretty looked after, but to be honest.
Now, what about, you got there in about September, but mm-hmm. What about, it gets cold fairly soon after that.
Oh, yes.
How did you cope with the cold?
Well, that's another thing that I meant to mention to you. We used to come along and go to the... When we left the line, we'd go along and report to the sergeant or the corporal, whoever was on thing, and they used to give you this rum.
Oh, tell us what that's good.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, it wasn't rum, as far as I'm concerned. It was like treacle. So, of course, he'd give me this stuff this night, and he'd give me a fair bit. I mean, he didn't give me he'd give me extra. Because I said to him, I said, and I was cold, I promise you, I was cold. But anyway, I come in, and he said to me, "Here, would you drink this?" And I drank it, and I was all right while I was in there. But as soon as I went outside, I think I was pissed as a note because I walked up the aisle and I was hitting this thing and I jumped in bed and I was warm, pure. I was completely warm. I can't explain the glow that I felt like. And, of course, it done well for us because it kept us going. That kind of a thing did keep us going. It did do us a lot of good. That done me, and we used to get that regularly. If you wanted it, you could ask for it. If you didn't want it, and you didn't like my mates, my mates used to take it off me, and they used to drink it, you know. But I didn't. I never used to want it. But this night I was so cold that I did drink it.
Now, how cold was it? Tell me about it. I mean, come on.
Well, it was so cold that. I remember one day that we went to a van and this bloke actually took his glove off and put his hand on the mudguard of the van and couldn't take it away. It was stuck to the mudguard, and some bloke actually threw a boiling hot cup of coffee over his hand. But it didn't do no good because all he done, he pulled, and as he done, he took all the whole palm of his hand was left on the van. And of course he pulled it away, but I mean, he went back and I don't know how long it lasted for, but I don't think he was lasting any good out there for us. Not after that had happened to him. And another thing that you did, if you put, you wasn't allowed to put your rifle on your butt. You couldn't hold your rifle that way. I mean, you couldn't even put your hand on it when you had to have gloves on. Because if you didn't, it would be so cold that it would actually stick to your hands.
And how, was there any way of getting warm?
Well, let's be fair. The amount of clothes that they give you, once they started supplying you with the right amount of clothes, it wasn't bad at all.
So what did they give you?
Well, they give you a string vest. They give you long underpants, the long ones, the, you know, the what do they call them?
Long johns.
Yeah, long johns, that's it. Used to give you them, and of course, them, and then with your boots, because you used to have a bigger size, and they looked after your feet, because it would, you would have everything going for you. I mean, don't forget, when we had the boots, there was an air vent in them, so that when you stood up, you didn't stand up on the boot, the sole of the boot, you stood up on a lump, like a, if you like, a bit of sponge that was going through, and it used to have, but used to collect warm air in there. And my feet were always, I did get cold. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we all got cold. But to keep warm, we more or less laid in, like got in your bunker and fell off to sleep. Things like that kept you more than anything.
Any other duties in the day? Did you have a morning stander, I should have asked? You know, where everybody stood to.
Yes, you used to have to do that, yeah.
Now, what was it? Yeah, I know I've just mentioned it to you, so I know, but can you tell us what a stand to was?
Well, what we used to do was everybody would be put together, and then what they would do, the sergeant would go around and make and see if you've got any complaints, number one. Is there anything you needed, number two?
So you'd all be in the front line, but he'd be coming round you.
But it'd be coming, like, what we used to do, we used to stand up, stand two, and he used to go around and ask you anything you got, or if there's anything you wanted to ask him. Is there any chance of you having a couple of days back, or something like that, or you wanted the MO? Or something like that, you know, no matter whatever you wanted, you could ask him there and then, and he used to oblige you by doing it. I mean, he wouldn't turn around and say, unless it was something really silly.
And this would be the NCO that came
round? Yes, the NCO would come round. It would be a corporal up, downwards, Lance Corporal, and he used to pass it on to the sergeant or anybody like that.
Now, did you have any, so during the day, you were just messing, not really doing much at all?
No, not doing nothing at all, really.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads? You know, because there's only six of you came out. How did you get on with the old...
Can't explain it. It's like when you go to work. You just got up in the morning. They would be there, and you would... enjoy their company, the same as hopefully they enjoyed your company. And if anything was going wrong, or if anything was needed, anything like that, it used to be sorted out, sort of thing.
Were they very close to you? You know, did you feel close towards them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you had a good comradeship. That's what I'm saying to you. God knows what they do today, but years ago, you did have a... I wouldn't make sure... Well, I wouldn't have to make sure. I know that if you was behind me, my back was clear. You know, you wouldn't run away and leave me.
So you had confidence?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, without a joke.
Were they from similar background to yourself? Or?
Yes, yeah, most of them were. Yeah.
What about the NCOs? How did you get on with them? I mean, Corporal Darby...
Well, Corporal Darby was a very nice fella. When he had to give you an order, he'd give you the order. When he give you, other than that, he used to be your best of your mates. But actually, when you was given orders, they used to give orders. And you, as I said to you before, you'd never turn around and say, no, I'm not going to do that. You do it, whether you like it or not. Don't matter how bad it was. A thing that a lot of them did have, I don't know if you've ever been told this, but there was some boys had a fear on their last night. They used to have to go out on patrol. And what they used to do, they used to have a fear of, how can I explain it?
They were about to go home, demobilised.
Yes, they're going home. They'd only have, say, if you like, they'd have two more nights to go. And what you used to do, it would be something like me, I'd take your place. And somebody else would take my place. But at the end, you didn't have to go. Do you know what I mean? So we used to look after one another as far as that's concerned.
Now, what about the officers? What do you think of them? I mean, do you remember who your officer was? You might not remember his name. It's a long time ago. But what were they like? How much did you see of them? How important were they to you?
I got on all right with all my officers as far as... it always... Whatever orders come through... as I said to you, was passed down the line. So most probably, if you was a captain, you'd pass it down to your lieutenant or whatever he is, and then that would go down to the sergeant, and then the sergeant would tell the corporals and the lance corporals. So within reason, it was all passed down. See, and another thing I meant to have mentioned to you, when we wasn't... don't forget, we always didn't go on guard. I mean, we used to do a lot of recce patrols.
Let me talk about the officers first.
I
just wonder whether you liked them, whether you thought they were any good, your officers. Or did you just not see them much?
I'll be honest with you. The officers I see, they were as good as I was. Honestly, they knew what to do, when not to do it, and not... They were good. As far as I'm concerned, they were good.
And you respected them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had... Well, if you didn't, then you wouldn't do nothing.
Just before we got on the patrol, what about the... Just because I remembered it, so we got to relax now. The latrines, what were they like?
What latrines?
Toilets. That's what I mean.
What toilets? You dug a hole in the ground.
I mean, did they have the old stick, pollen sticks, the
backwards you did, or when you went back, they used to have like drums, where they used to dig a big hole and put a stick in, and then you'd have to lean over and do what you're going to do, and then finish. But when you was at the line, it was more or less where you could find a hole. You do it.
They didn't dig a sort of like in the First World War, a little trench with a latrine at the area at the end of it?
Not in my one, they didn't. And if you wanted to go to a water one, you just go along, make sure... you wouldn't do it how can I put it? You wouldn't do it outside somebody's bunker or anything like that. You'd most probably get up and go and do it in a tree or so, near a tree or something like that. But other than that, that's all you would try and do.
Now, tell me about patrols then. I mean, how would you prepare for a patrol?
Well, they would tell you within, on an average, about 3 to 4 hours before you was going to go.
Now, say it's a recce patrol. How would they brief you?
They would tell you what they're going out for, who they're going to look for, what they're going to look for, if they could find anything, how they're going to pass the message back and all this kind of thing. You'd have a wireless man, a Bren gun man, and then we would have 1, 2, 3. You'd have... a lance corporal and a corporal, and you'd have about 4 more that would go out on the patrol. You'd go out.
Yeah. How would you feel in that last 2 hours or so?
What do you mean?
If you were on a patrol, extra? Would you be nervous before you went
there? Oh, yeah. But then you'd have to go around and look for your bulletproof vest. I mean, they didn't just come up and give them to you.
Now, tell me, I've not heard of these bulletproof vests. Yeah. What type of bulletproof vests were they?
These are the ones that used to lay across one another. It's the very old type, very first type that they ever made. Very heavy, but you didn't mind that because, you know, I mean, for what it would do for you. But you'd go around and you'd find out who's been on patrol before, and you'd go up and ask him for their bulletproof vest. And then they used to, they'd give it to you, you'd put fit it on, and then you'd be ready to go out that night.
And would everybody get one? I mean, would it borrow one? I understand there's not many of them. Would most of you try and get one, or was it something you made a special effort to do?
Well, it was just one of these things that I did go out a couple of times without them. There was a couple of others that went without them because they didn't have them in, you just didn't have them. But within reason, that's the way it went for you.
Now, what weapons would you be carrying? You?
Oh, I'd carry I'd carry a Sten gun, or I would be on the Bring gun, because I was a bit meaty, where the others weren't so meaty. I could carry the Bring gun, or I would be on the Sten gun. I mean, you know Luke Sten gun here. Yeah. But mainly, all of us used to take Sten guns.
You didn't take rifles?
Not that I can remember taking a rifle out. I never took a rifle out with me. I always took a little Sten gun.
Now, how would you leave the front line?
That's what I'm saying to you. You go down the downhill, and then you could be on your way to No Man's Land. And what they used to do, I don't know how they done it, but you used to be able to figure a way of the wire would come apart, you would go out, and the wire would come back together. I mean, how it was ever done, I don't know.
Well, that's how it went.
You'd go out, and then, I mean, there was a couple of times that we went out, got into No Man's Land, and were told to just stay still. And then about two foot away from us used to be the Koreans walking along. And then you didn't touch them, they wouldn't bother you. And that was the idea. You don't get into trouble with them, and they don't have a go at you, sort of thing. And I mean, that sounds a bit daft, but it's the sort of thing that used to happen.
So you'd actually see a Korean...
Oh, yeah.
How far away is that?
I would say no more than... What should I say? 200 yards?
Which is pretty close, by
the way. Oh, it is very close, I can assure you. You know, your old arse would go a few times. Yeah, I know. No, but you would... I mean, there was them that... I can honestly and truly say that all the time I went out on patrol, we never engaged any enemy. We went out on patrol, and another thing they used to make us do was to go out on patrol, but you wouldn't go out on patrol as patrol. You'd go out and you'd go into No Man's Land, and then you would go to, and you'd dig in. Halfway across, and then you'd be waiting to see if anything's going on.
So that would be a listening post?
More or less like a listening post, yeah. And the corporal or sergeant, whoever it was, used to have a hand set, and he used to pass the information back, all what was going on. And then...
So how many would be in the post?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Roughly about seven of us.
Still be six of you.
Oh yeah, good. Oh yeah. Well, we had to have the same amount because we all used to go out together. You see. Oh yeah, we all went out together.